talking about the cosmological concept and community crowds.
Okay, so first I'd like to thank the organizers for organizing this really nice conference in Morelia. I'm going to talk about the cosmological constant in 3D gravity, more precisely about the possibility of a unified approach in which the different signs of the cosmological constant can be treated in a common framework, and the cosmological constant can be seen as a deformation parameter. Okay, so why am I interested in this topic? Well, because I think that the cosmological constant in 3D gravity is not really sufficiently understood. So at present, there are a lot of different descriptions of both the quantum theory and the classical phase space for different signs of the cosmological constant, and it's difficult to impossible to relate these different descriptions. In particular, like one thing that one doesn't understand is the limit of the cosmological constant that goes to zero. On the other hand, it's known that the geometry of the spacetimes for different signs of the cosmological constant is quite similar. In fact, for a large class of spacetimes, genus greater than 2 vacuum spacetimes, the explicit results from mathematics that relate the spacetimes for different signs of the cosmological constant by so-called big rotations or rescalings. And the cosmological constant plays the role of a parameter in this. So this suggests, of course, that these geometrical or structural similarities should somehow also be apparent in the phase space of the theory and in the associated quantum theory. And it raises the question if somehow one can deform the phase spaces in quantum theory for different signs of the cosmological constant into each other, or see the cosmological constant really as a parameter. So that's what I'm going to talk about. So my talk is structured as follows. First, I'll talk about the background. I give some summary of 3D gravity with the focus of the role of the cosmological constant. Then I'm going to talk about the Lie algebras and the Lie groups one encounters in 3D gravity for different signs of the cosmological constant and different signatures, and show that it's possible to really understand all these Lie groups and Lie algebras as one and the same mathematical object. After this, I'll discuss an application to show that this has some relevance and is useful actually for 3D gravity, and this application are the Wilson loops, the physical observables of 3D gravity. The last part of my talk is then about the phase space of the 3D gravity, the Poisson structure, which can be described in terms of certain structures from the theory of Poisson Lie groups, and I'll show that it's possible to give a unified description of these Poisson structures in which one really gets the cosmological constant as a parameter. And in the end, I'll discuss my results and comment on some open questions. Okay. So, what is 3D gravity? So, I should say in the following, I'll consider all signatures and all signs of the cosmological constant. And I'll denote both the Euclidean and the Lorentz metric in three dimensions by eta, and if necessary, I distinguish them by index E or L. And the cosmological constant is denoted by lambda. However, for negative, for Lorentzian signature, this is minus what one would usually call the cosmological constant. Okay. So there are 2 main viewpoints of 3D gravity. One is the geometrical one, the other is the gauge theoretical one. In the geometrical viewpoint, one works with the usual Einstein-Hilbert action, which can be formulated in terms of a triad and the spin connections, and obtains the usual Einstein's equations from that. However, the solutions in 3 dimensions, or 2 plus 1 dimensions, are much simpler than in higher dimensions. So the theory has no local gravitational degrees of freedom, which implies that any solution of the Einstein equations is locally isometric to certain model spacetimes. And in fact, many solutions can also be obtained as quotients from these model spacetimes by the action of some discrete subgroup of the isometric group. And depending on the cosmological constant and the signature, these model spacetimes are different. So one obtains either hyperbolic free space for Euclidean signature negative lambda, three-dimensional Euclidean space, or the three-sphere. For Lorentzian signature, either 3D de Sitter space, 3D Minkowski space, or 3D anti-de Sitter space. And the associated isometry groups are either the group SL2C for negative lambda, the semi-direct product of the SU2 or SL2R with the R3, which is the 3D Poincaré or Euclidean group, or the direct product of 2 copies of the rotation and the Lorentz group in 3 dimensions for positive lambda. Okay, so the other main viewpoint of 3D gravity is the gauge theoretical one, in which the theory can be described either as a Chern-Simons or a BF theory. Here I'll talk about the Chern-Simons formulation. So the absence of the local gravitational degrees of freedom in 3D gravity allows one to rewrite the theory as a Chern-Simons gauge theory. where the gauge group is the isometry group of this model spacetimes that I've given here. And this is done by combining the triad and the spin connection in the Einstein-Hilbert action into a Chern-Simons gauge field, which is locally a one-form with values in the Lie algebra of the isometry group. And in the following, we will need to talk about these Lie algebras. So for all signs of the cosmological constant, there are six-dimensional real Lie algebras, and the bracket can be written in such a way that the cosmological constant here appears as a parameter. And in addition to the Lie bracket, we also need to consider the art-invariant symmetric bilinear forms on these Lie algebras. And for the gravity algebras, there are two of them. The first one is the one that one uses in the Chern-Simons action. The second one gives rise to a different action, which usually is called a Chern-Simons term. Okay. So the advantage of the Chern-Simons formulation is that it gives rise to an efficient description of the phase space and the Poisson structure of the theory. So if one works in a Hamiltonian formulation of the theory, one finds that the phase space is given as the moduli space of flat connections on the spatial surface modulo gauge transformations. And that's good because these spaces are pretty well known. So one knows they're finite dimensional, they can be parametrized by the holonomies along a set of generators of the spatial surfaces fundamental group, and one gets a complete set of physical observables, which are the Wilson loops along closed curves in the spacetime. An additional benefit of this formulation is that it gives rise to an easy description of the Poisson structure. So the Poisson structure on the phase space is given by a classical R matrix for the gauge group. And one can relate the contribution of particles in the spacetime of Handel's to two well-known Poisson structures from the theory of Poisson-Lie groups. The dual Poisson-Lie structure for the particles and the Heisenberg double for the Handel's. So it's not necessary to understand precisely what these things are, just it's very convenient because these are well-known things, and it makes the description of the phase space much easier. So overall the structure of the theory is quite similar for different signs of the cosmological constant and different signatures. However, what is different is that one gets different Lie groups, which play the role of the gauge or isometry groups. One gets different Poisson-Lie structures, which define the Poisson structure on the phase space. And finally, in the quantization of the theory, one gets different quantum groups, which act as the quantum symmetries. So if one wants to give a sort of unified description of this theory, of the phase space and the quantum theory, one needs to relate these three different things of mathematical objects, the Lie groups, the Poisson-Lie groups, and the quantum groups. And as there's a hierarchy there of increasing difficulty, I will talk only about the first of these two in my talk. Okay. So now I'll discuss the Lie groups in 3D gravity and how these Lie groups can be described in a common framework. So we have seen one gets different Lie groups for different signs of the cosmological constant and for different signature of the space-time, and these at the moment don't seem related at all, because in one case one gets a complex Lie group, in the other case some semi-direct product, and for another case the direct product of two copies of the rotational Lorentz group. However, it's nevertheless possible to give a unified description of these Lie groups. And how to get this? Well, it's first one starts by considering the Lie algebras that belong to these Lie groups. And the key idea is to not look at these Lie algebras as six-dimensional real Lie algebras, but at Lie algebras over a commutative ring. And this commutative ring is simply R2 with the usual addition and a lambda-dependent multiplication law. And if one parametrizes the elements as A plus theta B with the formal parameter theta, and looks at the multiplication law, one sees that this amounts to introducing a formal parameter theta, where theta square is equal to lambda. So in this sense, this ring generalizes the construction of the complex numbers, and for a negative cosmological constant, it actually agrees with them. Okay. To get a unified description of the gravity Lie algebras, one then considers the three-dimensional Lorentz or rotation group, a rotation algebra, that's the usual, with the usual bracket one has here, and with the Killing form. And one considers this as an algebra over the ring. That means one extends the Lie bracket and the Killing form bilinear to the ring, and if one identifies the generators of the translations, then the theta times the generators of the Lorentz transformations, one finds one recovers the Lie bracket of the gravity Lie algebras, and one recovers the two art-invariant symmetric bilinear forms in the gravity Lie algebras, which are obtained as the real component and the theta component of the Killing form. Okay? So with this description, one sees that essentially one can understand all gravity Lie algebras as one and the same thing. That means the Lorentz algebra over the commutative ring for Lorentzian signature and the rotation algebra over the commutative ring for the Euclidean case. Okay. So the question is now, how can one extend this description to describe the gravity Lie groups? And what one would like to do, of course, is simply to exponentiate this to obtain a similar description for the Lie groups. However, this doesn't work so easily for Lie algebra over the ring, because one cannot canonically exponentiate this like a Lie algebra over a field. So it nevertheless works for the gravity algebras, and the reason is the identification of the gravity Lie algebras with the quaternions of the gravity Lie groups, the quaternions. So the quaternions are an associative algebra over the real numbers with three generators and certain relations. For the case of Euclidean signature, one gets the quaternions, and for the Lorentzian signature, something similar, which is usually called the pseudo-quaternions. And one can show that in both cases, the set of unit quaternions, which satisfy a certain relation on the coefficient, forms a group. And this group is isomorphic to the rotation group in the Euclidean case and to the Lorentz group in the Lorentzian case. And the Lie algebras are realized as a set of quaternions where the first coefficient here is zero. That gives us a clue how to obtain a unified description of the gravity Lie groups. Namely, one simply considers now the quaternions as an algebra over this commutative ring. That means the quaternions with coefficients in the ring instead of the real numbers. And if one does this, one can investigate this algebra, and one finds a theorem which says that the unit quaternions again form a group, and this group is precisely the gravity Lie groups for the different cosmological constants and the different signatures. So that means we can understand the Lie groups in 3D gravity essentially as one and the same object, the group of unit quaternions over a certain commutative ring, and the cosmological constant plays the role of a deformation parameter. Okay, so this is useful for understanding the mathematical properties, and it's also useful in calculations, because I don't need to do six different calculations, but can just do one instead. But it's also useful for understanding some things about 3D gravity, and to show this, I'll discuss some applications to the Wilson loop observables. So these are the physical observables of 3D gravity and their conjugation in variant functions of the holonomies along a closed curve on the spatial surface. And using this identification of the gravity Lie groups with a set of unit quaternions over a ring, one can now construct Wilson loop observables for the gravity groups from Wilson loop observables for the rotation and the Lorentz group. And in this way, one associates to each curve a canonical pair of Wilson loop observables, which are obtained as the real and the theta part of a ring volume Wilson loop observables. One can now investigate these observables, and I've done this in a paper I've given as a reference at the beginning of the talk, and one finds that these two canonical Wilson loop observables act as the generators via the Poisson bracket of the two fundamental geometry-changing transformations associated to a geodesic, which are grafting and earthquake. So I've here sketched what these transformations do. Grafting cuts the surface and inserts a strip. Earthquake cuts the surface and rotates the edges of the cut. So in some sense, they can be seen as a translation and rotation associated to the geodesic. And these two canonical Wilson loop observables have the interpretation of a momentum and angular momentum. So one sees in this sense that the two canonical Wilson loop observables, which are canonical from the point of view of the identification of this description of the Lie groups in 3D gravity, are precisely the ones which are canonical also in a geometrical sense and have a good physical interpretation. Okay, so I come to the last part of my talk, which is about the unified description of the phase space using the Poisson-Lie structures. So this is for Lorentzian and arbitrary cosmological constant, and for Euclidean with negative cosmological constant. So one knows that the Poisson structure on the phase space is given by a classical R matrix for the Lie algebra of the gauge group, and the associated Poisson structures from the theory of Poisson-Lie groups. A dual Poisson-Lie structure for the particles and the Heisenberg double for the handles. And so in order, the task of getting a unified description of the phase space reduces to getting a unified description of these R matrices and the associated Poisson-Lie groups. And I've here given a set of R matrices for different signs of the cosmological constant. And one sees one just has to introduce a new vector whose square is equal to minus the cosmological constant instead of the parameter which was equal to the cosmological constant. And all these R matrices have the structure of a classical double, which is good because it has nice properties. And it gives us a canonical set of coordinates in all these different groups. So the R matrix with the structure of a classical double allows one to factorize all these different Lie groups in 3D gravity in terms of the two subgroups appearing in where the generators are paired in this R matrix, which is the Lorentz group and the semi-direct product of R times R2. And using this factorization together with the identification of the gravity Lie groups with the unit quaternions, one gets a canonical set of coordinates, which are essentially the same coordinates for all these different groups. And in terms of these coordinates, one gets a really simple description of these Poisson Lie structures and therefore also the Poisson structure on the phase space. So here I've given the example of the dual. So and one sees in this bracket the cosmological constant really plays the role of a parameter. It enters via this vector n, and the bracket essentially are valid for all the different groups. So one has a unified description of the Poisson structure on the phase space. Okay, so I come to outlook and conclusions. So I've shown there are two main results which I've shown. So the first is a unified description of the Lie groups in 3D gravity, where they can be seen as all as the same object, a set of quaternions or pseudo-quaternions over a commutative ring. And the second is a unified description of the associated Poisson Lie structures, which essentially define a unified description of the Poisson structure on the phase space of the theory. And this has physical applications. So first, this unified description of the Poisson Lie structures gives us a unified description of the phase space in terms of really natural coordinates in which things become simple and which also have a clear interpretation. And it also allows us to understand better the physical observables of the theory, which are the Wilson loops, which act as the Hamiltonians for the canonical ones, act as the Hamiltonians for the two canonical geometry-changing transformations. Of course, there are also some open questions. So, I mean, the main thing I'm interested in and why I'm doing that is the applications to the quantization of the theory, the associated quantum theory. So in particular, I would like to know if there's something like a unified description of the quantum groups that appear in 3D gravity, and also in which maybe the different quantum groups can be seen as some deformation of each other, where the cosmological constant is the parameter. And particularly, I'm interested in the limit where the cosmological constant goes to zero, and also maybe this can be of some use for the representation theory. Okay.
Thanks, Katrin, for this very interesting
talk. So,
do we have time for some questions?
I want to make sure I understood. How is it this?
It tells you for different signs of the cosmological constants, there's one set which is kind of canonical for all of them. And if you know that, then of course for each similar case, it also tells you which are good variables to describe the theory. But, I mean...
So in some sense, the good variables are those which match nicely.
And they're good also in the sense that things become much simpler when one... I mean, if one tries to work out such Poisson brackets for kind of some general function, it can get really complicated. To the point...
Sorry, people thought this before, and this sort of gives a new motivation for it.
So there's something that are canonically associated to this issue of the classical R matrices and the factorization. So in the theory of Poisson, I mean not these precise coordinates, but the factorization is something that is known. And so for someone working on Poisson Lie groups, one would think maybe use something that are coordinates on the two factoring groups. But as far as I know, this has not really been done in the... Well, it has been done with some matrices, but it's a very different formulation. Happens to what? To the groups or to the Poisson Lie structures? Or both? Well, in the groups, if you work with these quaternions, you don't see anything specific happening. You can just use the same formulation that you have in lambda as a parameter, and this parameter becomes zero. I mean, if you look at this as real Lie groups, of course it changes. And if you, in the ring, also something changes, like zero divisors appear. But if you use this for a concrete calculation, you don't feel this. So you can really just calculate with this and... It's okay. And in the case of the Poisson Lie structures, it's interesting because there are two ways of going to the zero. I'm just looking to find this transparency. So one can look at the classical R matrices here. And one sees there's this vector n, and n squared must be equal to minus lambda in the Lorentzian case. So I can go to zero in two ways, either by simply setting the n equal to zero or by setting the n equal to light-like. And if I set the n equal to zero, then all these brackets here become trivial in some sense. So, it becomes zero. So then you get some sort of degenerate case. And if you let it go light-like, the n changes here, but still the structure of these two subgroups, which is this semi-direct product of R with R2 and the Lorentz group, that stays the same. Whereas when it goes to the zero, you get the Lorentz group here, and here simply the R3 essentially. And everything, yes.